So I'm really nervous. Oh. Like, there's a lot of y'all, and I'm real nervous. And I've just decided that I'm just going to be real honest. So when I was first asked to do a workshop, I was given a list of all the topics, and I saw from desperation to passion, and I was like, that's been my journey. You know, one of the biggest areas that I keep hitting, like, roadblocks in my recovery is relationships. Like most of us, I'm not unique. And I really struggle with relationships, and I get in the same pattern, the same cycle, and it always ends in pain. And this past year, you know, they say when the pain becomes great enough, we'll do something different. Well, the longer I stay clean, the higher I feel like my pain threshold gets, and I'll put up with more shit. Like, I'll go through more pain, and I'll go through more suffering. I just won't get high. And this past year, I reached that point this past summer. I had, I think, 3 years clean. I was in another one of those toxic, sick relationships where the pain was great enough, but I wasn't willing to leave. And I remember, like, I was still going to meetings, I was still doing step work, I was still doing all the things that y'all told me to do, but I wasn't happy anymore. I remember waking up one day and being really pissed that I woke up. And that's in recovery, doing all the things y'all told me to do. And I remember going into my home group and just getting real honest, and as Jessica W. calls it, like, an ugly girl cried. And that's one of the first times I'd been that honest in a meeting in a really long time. And, you know, I was at that point for a few months in recovery. It's not that I wanted to use, I was just really sick of being here. I was sick of working the steps, going to meetings, sharing, reading the daily meditation, journaling, doing all these things, and still feeling like, what is my point? Why do I keep doing this if I feel the same? But I kept doing, like, I kept doing these things that y'all told me to, because y'all told me that eventually it'll get different. Not that it'll get better, but you told me eventually it'll get different. And that's what I was banking on. I just wanted different. And one day the desperation turned into something different. You know, there's this, in The Living Clean, there's like a paragraph or a thing about from desperation to passion. And me and him just, like, figured it out, like, today. So we just read it like an hour ago, really unprepared. But in there, in the reading, it states, like, desperation and passion are really similar. And I never really thought about that. Like, the feelings are the same. Like, they're just as intense. Like, desperation and passion, like, it's just as powerful for me, both of them. And I don't remember what happened. I don't remember what changed. But one day, I wasn't as pissed that I woke up in the morning. And I don't remember it feeling like, when I first got clean, like, I don't remember feeling like that desperate for something different. You know, being clean and doing the same thing, expecting something different, and being miserable is, it's real shitty, guys. You know, I can't say that I'm perfect in that area. Like, I still really struggle, not just with romantic relationships, but platonic ones, like sponsees, my sponsor, my coworkers. And that's where I fall short. Anyone that knows me knows that that's true. But what I've learned is, regardless of what my struggles are in recovery, I know that there's a solution. Regardless of how miserable and lonely I feel, like, number one, I'm not the only one, and eventually it'll get different. I go through a lot of phases in recovery where I'm like, gay, Narcotics Anonymous, and then I get really complacent, and it just fluctuates depending on where I'm at. And recently I've been really, really, really busy. Like, Narcotics Anonymous has given me all these gifts, and my life is so chaotic and hectic, and I haven't been able to hit all the meetings that I normally do. So I'm really, really grateful to be here. Like, conventions are my spiritual recharge. Regardless of how uncomfortable this is, because I don't know, like, most of y'all, like, at all. It's super weird. But, you know, I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm really grateful to have this opportunity. I think that's it. I'm done.
I'm Jason. I'm an addict.
Hey, Jason.
So desperation to passion, you know, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to try to tell you a little bit about my story, but not all my whole story. My literature, you know, tells me a couple things, you know. My literature tells me, and once I start reading that literature, I personally feel like I'm committing to NA. I'm committing myself to this purpose, and I need to do certain things. And my literature tells me that my primary purpose here is not to make you feel better, which I hope that the message that any addict can get and stay clean would make you feel better. But that's not my primary purpose. My primary purpose is to let you know that any addict in this room can get clean and stay clean. And it promises me one gift. It promises me the gift, if I do what it says to do, of freedom from active addiction. Now, that being said, you know, I'm 42 years old. I was born in 76. You know, my daddy drank. My daddy was mean. You know, he believed in the bell, fishing pole, whatever was handy, verbal, you know. You know, mama believed God going to make everything all right. Just pray about it, you know. You know, both my parents love me. Today I have better relationships with my parents than I had when I was growing up. You know, but they're not the best relationships in the world, you know, but they are what they are. You know, I started using in high school, you know, did a little bit of everything, you know, found a couple drugs that was my drug of choice till I found my drug of choice. And, you know, it allowed me to not have to, you know, not to have to feel, you know, it gave me energy to get out of bed. It, you know, I didn't have to go back to bed. I didn't have to do any of those things, you know. Fact that, you know, I went to jail a lot, it didn't matter, you know. I'm sure some of us been to jail more than once. You know, it just didn't matter. I went, I got out when I got out, and I went to doing what I was doing, and I continued to do that, you know. I was young, I could find work somewhere, I could hustle something up, you know, had buddies, you know, before I blew all them off. You know, life was good back then. You know, flash forward, lose a few places to live, go to a few mental institutions, whatnot, you know, life's still all right. Pain's not great enough, as it was said earlier, to do anything about it. You know, was able to convince people that was in just as bad a shape as me to say, hey, you know, I need to, you know, to give me a roof, give me a room, and I got a place that I can do what I do. And, you know, I'm not hurting anybody, you know. Fast forward even more, you know, and it's homelessness. You know, I see a lot of young folks in here, you know, and I know when I was homeless, I saw some young people out on the street. You know, a lot of them just didn't want to do what their mama said, so they decided to live on the street. And I mean, when I was that age, I wouldn't have done it, you know, mainly because, hell, I was scared. Shit, I didn't know nothing about, you know, I grew up in the country. I didn't know nothing about little city, and I mean, I'm from Athens. It ain't no big city. I could only imagine somebody being homeless in Atlanta or Chicago or some shit like that. And I'm glad that I'm not there. But you know, it went from you know, doing what I do to, you know, shooting up in porta potties, abandoned houses with dead rats, birds, bugs wedged between the floor and the wall because I'm shaking so bad to get my fix. You know. Back up a little bit, lost my license in 1996. Never had a desire, you know, I was gonna get them. You know, I gotta save up this amount of money. I can't save up money, I about spend it all on drugs. How can I save up money, you know? You know, so 10 years go by, 20 years go by, nothing, you know. Right before I came into recovery, my clean date is August 22nd, 2014. So I have, a little over 3 years. Right before I came in, I got hit by a truck. I was on a bicycle because, you know, you ain't got no license, you ain't got no money, you ain't got no vehicle, and you got to get drugs. You know, dope man don't want to answer your phone calls. If you got minutes on your phone, you know how life is. You got to get to their house. It's a whole lot quicker to ride a bicycle than it is to walk, and they got to answer the door, or, you know, you'll catch them in the yard. And they want to get rid of you, so they're going to give you something. You know, that's just, you know, that's the way I do it. You know, but at the end, you know, money was going to make everything all right. You know, so I got hit, I got money, bought me a truck, bought me insurance, never made it to the DMV. You know, and basically, I was riding in the floorboard of that truck while people navigated me. And I sit there, and I paid for my cousin's kid's school clothes, gave her boyfriend some money to pay his probation, you know, bought, you know, all the drugs and all that good stuff. And, you know, when I run out of money and drugs, I was basically chased out of the yard with them throwing gravel at me. And, you know, for me, that was the last straw. I still continued to get high for a little while, but that was where, you know, I wanted to die. I wanted to lay down in the highway and just die. You know, like, why are these people going to treat me like this? You know, so I came, you know, we had a little clubhouse. And I sat there on the porch of that clubhouse. I wouldn't go in. I just knew that NA is where they said things could get better. My life could get better. You know, I didn't have to hurt like this anymore. But I wasn't ready to go in and give up that pain, because that was all I had. That pain was my personal pain. It belonged to me. It didn't belong to nobody else. And I could, you know, I had that. That was mine. You know, and so I sat out there. You know, people came, you know, gave me hugs, asked me if I'm all right, wanted to invite me inside. I'm good, you know. I just, you know, traded my truck to stay at a halfway house. I didn't have no license anyway. Got kicked out of the halfway house. Now, by the time I'm in the halfway house, I've done stopped using. I'm going to some meetings. I shook, I cried. I got in there. I read the readings, you know, and shook and cried till I could get done with the readings. And I sit there and I listen to what these people had to say. I sit there and watch the people. I went to 3-4 meetings a day, and I saw the people that were in the meetings. I saw the people that were serious about it. I saw the people that were cutting fools and doing all this other stuff. And I dissociated myself, and I just watched the people that were trying to get better, and I did the things that they told me to do. You know, so I found me a sponsor, and I worked some steps and all that good stuff, and I kept coming to meetings. But, you know, in all this process of getting to where I'm at now, I got kicked out of my recovery house. Recovery house is not NA. It is not NA affiliated. The 12 steps, Narcotics Anonymous, is what gets me clean, keeps me clean, and allows me to have a life. Allows me to be any addict that can stay clean, get clean, and stay clean. You know, it was wintertime. I'd hunted for a job for a month. A lot of us get in here, we ain't got jobs, we ain't got nothing but the clothes on our backs. That was me. Got a little job downtown Athens, bunch of drunk college kids working from 10 at night to 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, depending on how busy we were, dealing with a bunch of drunk college kids. Not the greatest environment for somebody trying to get clean, nor was it conducive to serenity. You know, but I did that because I wanted to stay clean, and I had to have a job to pay for them. You know, I had to have a job. And I slept. It was in the middle of wintertime. I slept on the porch of the clubhouse during ice storms, during the cold. God almighty, it was, you know, just to do a shot of dope and get warm would have been, you know, but I didn't want all that because I knew what came with it, and I was tired of living like that. So I slept on the porch of the clubhouse till they opened up, and I went to meetings. If I could get a shower or wash off in the sink, that's what I did. And then I went to my job. You know, talking about relationships, I got in a relationship with somebody. My personal thoughts is, does that go off when we're out of time?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, my personal thoughts on relationships are, NA is about relationships. You got to have a sponsor. You meet people. A sponsor doing you wrong can be just as bad as some girl doing you wrong or some guy doing you wrong. You know, people are people. They're going to, we make mistakes, you know. The only thing I can say for me personally, I really didn't give a crap what they did with my information. I had done it. I didn't want to live like I was living anymore. So, you know, I just had to put it out there and hope for the best, you know, and I got the best. You know, recently, just a month or so ago, I got my license. I have a job, not that job that I have, but I have another job that, you know, allows me to have a 401k. I didn't know what a 401k was. It allows me to have vacation days. I get paid for not being at work. Wow, that's awesome. You know, sick days. If I'm sick, I get paid for not being at work. You know, and all this good stuff. But before I got that job, I went from that dinky job. I went to another job after that. I found a better job. That place shut down. You know, I said, man, I done shut this company down. It is not my fault that company shut down. It was their bad business practices or the market's no longer in demand. But that wasn't my fault, you know, even though my first thought is to think this is my fault because I'm an addict and everything is my fault. I want to hold the burden of the entire world on my shoulders, and I don't need to, and that's not my, you know, I don't need to. I need to let God do that, you know. So I found another job, you know, and I've been there through the temp service for about 6-7 months and through the company over a year. You know, started out and got $2 raises since I've been there. You know, and this company I'm working for is the fastest growing branch of that company. It's got plants all over the U.S. and Canada, and it's the fastest growing branch of that company up in Watkinsville, Georgia. So it's not going nowhere. You know, for me personally, sometimes my attitude, because I don't want to pray as often as I should, I don't want to meditate as often as I should because I don't got time for it. I heard Kelsey say something about being busy. Man, I am so freaking busy all the time now, which I was busy then too, just busy trying to figure out how to get dope or being so effed up that I didn't know where I was for weeks and months at a time, you know, till I came down or woke up somewhere and then trying to figure out where in the hell I'm at, how am I going to get home or get somewhere close to where I know people so that I, you know, I feel safe instead of just in this place where I don't know a soul. With no money, no nothing, you know, how am I going to eat? How am I going to smoke? Hell, I know how I'm going to smoke. I'm going to pick up cigarette butts off the ground because I don't give a shit. You know, and today I don't have to live like that. You know, I smoke one cigarette today. I'm trying to quit. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, you know, but, you know, I haven't done any dope today, and this program has afforded me the opportunity to do that. I have a doctor today. You know, I'm not sure what her name is, but she's my doctor. You know, same thing with a dentist. I have a dentist and an oral surgeon. I don't know what neither one of their names are, but I got them. You know, insurance, you know, all that stuff that I didn't care nothing about when I was getting high, when I was growing up, you know, because they taught me some of those things in high school. They taught me how to balance a checkbook. I couldn't do it today if I tried, but they taught me. You know, I'm learning all those things again because of what this program has afforded me to do. It has afforded me an opportunity to have a life. It's afforded me the opportunity to have a life again and to want things. You know, because when I was growing up, that's all I wanted. You know, I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have a life. I wanted to have a nice life, you know, all that good stuff. And as I started getting high, you know, and I got deeper into my drug of choice, all I wanted to do was stay high, you know. And then it was all I wanted to do was not feel the way I felt. And I had to continue to get high, and I had to continue to do more and more and more until finally I hated the way I felt, because each time I did more, I had to do things. You know, I robbed, cheated, stole, hoard other people. It didn't matter. And before I came in, my next step was to kill somebody, and that's the truth. I was thinking about killing some poor soul so that I could get high, so I didn't have to feel the way I felt over all the things that I had done and continue to do. You know, and that's from coming to these meetings, from talking to people, from just being honest. If you got less than 30 days, hey, just your first week, say it every day. I said that every day. Every day I was in a meeting, I said, I got less than 30 days till I picked up my 30-day chip. You know, just the little things they asked me to do. You know, the readings helped me to get to know you people, helped people get to know me, because I couldn't talk. I mean, but I'd read the reading. And I felt like I participated in the meeting, and I was all right with just sitting there shaking and crying the rest of the meeting, you know. And the people in the meeting were all right with me being there till I got done shaking and crying, however long it took me to do that, you know, which was, you know, a couple months. But it happened, you know. And today, you know, like I heard it said, you know, I am busy. I don't get to make the meetings that I get to make. You know, I wasn't particularly, you know, I thought this convention was going to be in Commerce like it was last year when I was told that I was doing it. And then I found out it was going to be up here, and I'm like, man, really? Come on, I ain't got time. You know, and I don't get up early in the morning. You know, I got a second shift job. You know, but part of that reading was talking about, you know, we do the things that we need to do. Like, we make time to talk to an addict. We make time to go to a meeting. We make time to put ourselves out there, you know. And that's what I did, you know, and I'm glad that I came to this thing, you know. But You know, today I have my license. I haven't had license in over 20 years. And today I have my license. I can drive legally. I have insurance and I have two vehicles. Wow, it's ridiculous. You know, I have a relationship with a beautiful woman that I met when I got here, and we're about to get married, and we're going to have our own family, and that's awesome. I had no relationships when I was doing dope. I did not have anybody that I was willing to share my shit with. Nobody. I don't care. You know, I'd give me a shot of leg every once in a while, and that was it, because I had nobody I was willing to share my dope with, or my food with, or my air with. You know, I see a lot of people, they got, you know, they run around with whoever and they doing whatever, committing their crimes and whatever. That wasn't me. I wasn't willing to share with anybody. And thus I had a lonely life, you know, and today I have a fuller life. And not only that, but my life can be as full as I want it to be. And sometimes I don't want it to be no fuller. Sometimes I want it to be less full. Sometimes I don't want to deal with all this. I really don't. But I don't get high, and I keep coming back, and I find that I want things. I want to be able to go take a vacation. I want to go cut my grass so the yard don't look horrible. So I sit there and I pay the guy to fix the lawnmower when it's busted, even though I don't got the money for it. You know, because I need it. You know, and I take care of the things I need, and that's a good feeling to have. You know, it makes me feel better about myself to be able to take care of the things I need than, you know, having to depend on my mama to feed me, or going and begging at my neighbor's door for, you know, a friggin' sandwich, you know, or some shit like that. Hey, can I dig up your plants, or plant you, you know, can I do something in your yard to get some food or whatnot? You know, looking crazy and, you know, all cracked out. But that's what this program has done for me. And only with you know, one simple message: any addict can get clean, and any addict can stay clean. And with that one promise that I had today, I have active freedom from addiction. And what that gives me is an opportunity to get as much out of life as I want, to be honest about it. You know, but that's all I got. Thank y'all. Thank you.